homelessness crisis, build housing that is affordable.
Permanent housing is the thing.
Permanent housing.
If we had housing, more housing, affordable housing.
The need for housing is undeniable.
Back in November of 2023, the city announced over $600 million in federal funding would be put towards 20 new shelter sites. It would be the biggest shelter building program in Canada. But behind the scenes, experts have been urging caution. Shelters on their own, they say, are not the solution.
Definitely people stay in the shelter longer than we want them to and longer than they want to, but that's not an intentional or implicit part of the shelter system. That is a function of the fact that there's nowhere else for people to go.
Brian Harris works at the newest 50-bed shelter by Adelaide and Bathurst. Harris is the executive director of the St. Felix Center, a charity organization currently operating five different housing programs across the city.
So if there's not an alternative to the shelter, then sure, people will stay in the shelter for a longer period.
Shelters are meant to be a temporary solution to a temporary problem. But lately, for Torontonians, this hasn't been the case. Harris says they're generally only able to house one or two people a month. That means folks are staying at St. Felix for anywhere between 6 to 8 months max. Some say that's too long to be in a shelter for.
I mean, that's a real problem. You need to keep providing permanent housing for people so that that stay in shelter is indeed a temporary stay.
That's Ronald Kneebone, an economist and public policy professor at the University of Calgary. He's an expert on government budgets, poverty prevention, and homelessness. Housing and poverty are national problems. So we brought on a nationally recognized expert.
It's just a transition. And if you're not providing those permanent housing units, then people get stuck in shelters and they're forced to stay there longer than you would want them to be.
He says shelter beds should be a cost-effective, economical solution. According to data from Toronto's shelter system, a single bed costs the city about $36,000 a year. That's roughly $100 a night for a single bed. But supposedly that bed is used countless times by countless people throughout the year. Based on Professor Kneebone's calculations, that one bed may then help 20 to 25 people a year.
My mind, that's a pretty inexpensive investment in helping that young person transition into permanent housing. In Calgary, it's even cheaper than that because youth in Calgary stay for shorter periods of time in shelter than they do in Toronto.
But that cost depends on people staying for a few days or a week at a time, and that's not what's happening. Meanwhile, municipalities are investing millions of dollars into building shelters. Toronto City Councillors approved the advancement of six new shelter sites at July's council meeting, with 14 more coming down the pipeline. Councillor Alejandra Bravo, who supported that motion, says the situation is urgent, with over 15,000 people living unhoused, according to city data.
This is the biggest human and health and economic emergency that's facing the city right now. We need to approve this shelter plan, and we need to move forward on these six new shelter sites to get to the solution.
And neighbors where shelters are going are fighting this. They're against these shelters, drawing out the process even longer. Emil Glassberg spoke to us outside the new Adelaide site. He lives just down the street.
It's just the recipe for disaster. It hasn't worked so far. They've gone with it for years now. They've been doing this, and it hasn't worked. And the problem is only growing. They're throwing more and more money at it. Budgets are going up. The shelter and housing has more and more people working for it. They have a bigger budget, and they're failing miserably at accomplishing anything positive. There's got to be another way to do this.
But Adelaide's shelter worker Harris says going back and forth on shelters is just wasting time while people suffer.
You know, I sort of sometimes think of it as analogous to there being a forest fire, right? And you can think of that as poverty. And then there's a debate about, you know, we want to build this new airplane to dump water on the fire. And someone says, well, we don't think the airplane should be built here. And so then it becomes an argument about, okay, well, how, you know, what color is the airplane going to be and how many wheels and windows? And, you know, it gets a little silly to be in a crisis moment, in an emergency, having these types of conversations. So I think trying to find ways to dispel this idea that we can have it both ways as a society, right?
Toronto operates the largest shelter system in Canada, yet the city is unable to provide shelter to the hundreds of people requesting a space every night. But the problem, says Kneebone, isn't the lack of shelters, it's the lack of affordable housing.
When you get mad about what's happening in the shelter system, understand the shelter system itself is doing the best it can, given the constraints it's under. And a really big constraint they're under is the lack of permanent housing for people to move into.
In Calgary, where Professor Kneebone works and lives, getting housing built isn't as big of a hurdle.
It's more expensive to build housing in Toronto than it is in Calgary. And one of the reasons for that is government regulations and government restrictions on the type of housing that is built. There are far fewer restrictions in Calgary and Alberta than there are in Ontario. It's simply easier and cheaper to build housing in Alberta than it is in Ontario.
Affordable housing not getting built fast enough means less people are able to leave the shelter system because there's nowhere else for them to go. The shelter works on a referral basis through the city's central intake line. This is a 24/7 phone-based service providing intake assessments and referrals to Toronto's shelter system. It is a first-come, first-served system. For the Adelaide site, anyone over the age of 18 is eligible for referral. Once welcomed, the site's director, Brian Harris, says the goal is to house each individual for as short a period of time as possible, transitioning them to a more permanent living space eventually. But as far as he's seen, this hasn't been the case.
We've been really trying to narrow our focus in the last 3 years or so on permanent housing, because I think that's our position. Like most folks, permanent housing is the thing that's really lacking and is really the only solution to homelessness. It is important that we don't lose sight of that being our end goal. You know, it does feel like it's hard to put a date on that at the moment, given the severity and the scale of the problem. But I think given that the city is making these important investments and they're making these important additions to the system, you know, I think over the next few years, we'll be in a better position to be able to start doing some longer forecasting to say, okay, can we finally start to see this expanding the infrastructure project that the city's undertaking is having an effect?
While shelters can't be the solution alone to homelessness, they are still necessary for emergencies like the one Toronto is in right now. Professor Kneebone says this isn't an either-or argument.
People who say that, you know, the goal is to eliminate homeless shelters, frankly, they're dreaming. We are always going to experience homelessness, always. And there's always going to be the need for a place for people to stay temporarily while they transition from one housing unit to another housing unit.
He says there needs to be more housing units that people with low income can actually afford. That would then clear the backlog for those holding out in shelters and get people moving into those transitional spaces. Toronto's already made some headway on this. A sweeping set of housing initiatives were approved in July. Over $200 million will be put towards 39 new housing projects. But for Kneebone, even that isn't enough.
The social system is not providing enough income for people, even desperate people, doing all they can to hang on to the housing.
While provincial and federal levels of government provide funding to municipalities who open and maintain these shelters, Professor Kneebone says without support from senior levels of government, much of their work is counterintuitive, perpetuating the cycle of homelessness.
Senior levels of governments also contribute to the problem. One way they contribute to the problem is not providing sufficient income support for people struggling to maintain their housing. And so they end up losing their housing and end up in shelters.
Canada remains a top destination for immigrant populations. But since Carney's taken office, much has changed for foreigners seeking refuge.
They also contribute to the problem, especially at the federal level, by not doing a very good job of dealing with immigration and asylum seekers, which is a particular problem for Toronto.
Asylum seekers are left in limbo because they're not allowed to work, but they're still staying in the country. And with no other housing alternative, they often end up in shelters.
And why is that a specific problem for Toronto?
Simply because that's where asylum seekers tend to congregate. When asylum seekers come into the country, they come across the border at certain places. Many of those places are in Eastern Canada near Toronto, and so people tend to migrate to Toronto.
End of July, the news broke that Ottawa would stop funding hotel rooms for asylum seekers. Those staying there will have to check out by the end of September, according to the Immigration, Refugee and Citizen Department of Canada, or the IRCC. Between 2021 and 2023, the City of Toronto saw a 440% increase in refugee claimants in the shelter system. Meanwhile, plans to revamp Canada's outdated asylum system have been cancelled, while newly proposed border laws will likely make it more difficult for immigrants to claim asylum.
Homelessness is a sign that we're failing people. The social safety net has got way too many holes in it, and we need to start closing those holes and helping people. It's a misunderstanding to believe that people who are homeless are somehow bums who are not trying. That's wrong. Everything I've seen in the data suggests that people experiencing homelessness are fighting like hell to get out of that situation. And what they need is some support from the rest of us to allow them to do that.
Even Brian Harris, who is employed by the shelter system, isn't happy about seeing a new shelter pop up. He says shelters are a sign of a sick society.
Shelters are sort of a canary in the coal mine for the health of a society and a civilization. More shelters means that your society's not doing that great because people are not getting their basic needs met.
This is Mia Johnson for the Local Journalism Initiative.